His good mother would always fight for him, and even attack her far larger husband, whose height and girth eventually had been passed on to his son. And for her loyalty to her child, the woman had been dealt with more cruelly. For hours afterward, they would lie on the floor and cradle each other, nursing wounds, sharing tears, speaking in French in low voices, so the father and husband could not hear, for it would undoubtedly drive him into another rage. Kuchin had lied to Alan Rice, and later to Janie Collins, or whatever her real name was. His father had not died from a fall at the cottage in Roussillon. Kuchin's father had never been to Roussillon, or even France at all. A poor family from rural Ukraine during that time would never have had the money nor the permission to travel abroad. They would never have even made it to the border. No proper papers, no reason to be leaving the Soviet Empire. They would have been executed on the spot, their bodies left where they fell like trash flung from a truck as a message to others contemplating disobedience. And Kuchin had to admit that message could be very effective. He'd later conveyed such messages himself. It was only after he'd risen to his post in the KGB that out-of-country travel was possible for the most loyal, which included him, of course. He had gotten special permission to take his mother to the town of her birth. By now, she was clearly old before her time, and the years left to her were few. The cottage had been empty, and Kuchin, though he did not have much money back then, had found a way to purchase it for her. She lived there for 5 happy years until her death. Kuchin visited her when he could. She would call him by a French name that in her diminished mental state she believed to be his real one. A Soviet to the core, Kuchin would have killed any man who called him that, but when his old failing mother did so, he would merely nod and shed a tear or two and hold her withered hand, answering her queries like a nice little Frenchman looking to appease his beloved mama. Kuchin stared out the window of his cabin, toward the not-too-distant coast. Yet his hearing was attuned to the swirl of rubber over crushed gravel that lay on the opposite side of the house. He checked his watch. Alan Rice should be here in no more than 20 minutes. His gaze returned to the nearby waters, and another memory entered his thoughts. This time, it was a happy one. The Sea of Azov was far too shallow for his plan, of course. That was why one moonless night in October, several decades ago, a grown-up and very strong Kuchin, now a valued member of the deeply feared Komitet Gazudarstvennoy Bezopasnosti, or KGB, had dragged his father from his shack, loaded him on a boat, and set off to deep water. Through the Strait of Kerch, they had entered the Black Sea, which had an area over 10 times the size of the adjacent Azov. More importantly, the deepest point there was over 2,000 meters. Kuchin had anchored down, and he and 3 of his comrades who had come to help him had used the strongest fishing line they could find to tie up the old man. The senior Kuchin's eyes bulged with the terror of what was happening to him. Heavy metal cables that they draped over his head and shoulders were 2 50-gallon metal drums filled with sand. It was a favored disposal technique for the Soviet security forces. Indeed, some of the KGB officers had started terming this pairing the Golden Slippers. Kuchin had looked into his father's eyes one last time. The roles were reversed now. The large was now small, and the young child was now a strong man more than capable of defeating the monster that had punished him relentlessly for so long. He spoke to him in 2 languages. First, he said the words in French, which he knew the old man could understand, however grudgingly, and then in Ukrainian, which he knew would be crystal clear to the bastard. Then, over the gunwale, the drums went. And seconds later, the cables drew taut, and the old man sailed overboard too, screaming in terror. In a few seconds it was finished. Kuchin took the helm and steered them back from where they had come. He looked back only once at the spot where the man who had plagued him would carry out the last few seconds of his life. And then he turned back and thought no more of him. The SUV came into view. Alan Rice was here with the promised intelligence. For Fader Kuchin, it was time to track down and catch another adversary who would dare seek to harm him.